For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. In an examination room at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center, an aspiring nurse puts a question to a patient.
Consider a situation where there's a serious car accident or sudden illness that would leave you unable to communicate. The doctors believe there's little chance you will ever recover. So in your own words, Jay, tell me what that situation would mean to you, and would you want to continue life-sustaining treatment?
Boy.
Jay and his wife Julie, a middle-aged couple, exchange glances. He's had some recent heart problems.
I don't want to be a burden on my family. I want them to enjoy me and me to enjoy them, and when that's not fulfillable, then I don't need to be around.
This is the beginning of a polite conversation about death that educators at UT hope will become more common in medical facilities. In a national teaching program called Respecting Choices, students get to practice broaching an issue usually not associated with a visit to the doctor.
We don't really ask people, if something happens to you, what do you want us to do and why? Why do you want us to do that?
That's Teresa Britt, Director of Professional Education and Clinical Simulation at UT Health Science Center.
It is a hard conversation, and maybe we might think and be comfortable doing that with people we know really well, like our family, but to go up to someone I've met or I'm taking care of as a patient, that's a harder thing to get into.
An advance directive can be as simple as a power of attorney, naming someone to make decisions for you if you can't. Or it can be a living will, establishing what kinds of procedures you want or don't want at the end of life. One study found that less than half of terminally ill patients have advance directives. And of the people who do have advance directives, between 65 and 76% of their doctors don't know about them. This could pose problems for both families and physicians.
You don't want the people taking care of you at the 11th hour to be making those decisions. Those are things that need to be known before you're rushing through the folding doors and going into the ICU surgery area. What happens if?
At UT's Health Science Center, the students are real, but the patients are not. They're actors trained to bring up the concerns that real people have when making end-of-life decisions. Students in the program visit different rooms where each of the actors use a different script. Their medical histories and questions are based on real-life circumstances.
15 minutes, just take your time. You're doing a good job.
In one room, Deneen Haba, a student physical therapist, listens to a woman and her son who worry that another family member might interfere with her end-of-life choices.
You know, he's a very religious person, and I am not personally. I'm spiritual, but not religious, so I don't want him being offended by my choices, but it has to be what I choose, I believe.
It has to be your choice, yeah.
Right, and that's what this whole process is about.
Mm-hmm.
In another room, Haba is asked about a specific procedure.
Well, let's just jump to CPR. That's something I don't really understand a lot about, and I wonder if you can help me have a better understanding of that.
I think a lot of people have the TV version of CPR in their heads when they go in, that it's some magic.
Teresa Britt says that CPR only works with about 17% of patients, usually those who are young and fairly healthy. One problem, she says, is that many people don't understand how effective certain procedures are.
When you look at our state forms, it has boxes on there for, do you want CPR? Do you want a tube feeding? You know, mark this box. And people are marking things without any definition or explanation of what that actually is.
Britt says that the UT program, Respecting Choices, isn't about persuading people to make decisions recommended by doctors, but to just encourage healthcare workers to bring up the matter of dying before it's too late. For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank.